The portion of scripture that we read this evening is a look into, I'd like to look into Peter and the confession that Peter made and the really what began as the preparation for the denial that he ultimately made. And this came to me when we had this past Sunday, the reading on Job, and we think of Job and what he had endured and what Satan had put him through. And Jesus told Peter that Satan has a desire to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith would not fail you. And Satan, his only intention for any of us is to sift us as wheat, to rattle our faith, to cause us to lose trust in God, to distance ourselves from Him and focus on the things that we can see with our eyes and things that we can physically do to help ourselves. So we put our trust in more in self and less in God. And so that's Satan's desire for every one of us. Job wasn't unique. Peter isn't unique. All of mankind is, there's no mercy with Satan. It's all of mankind that he pursues. And so when we look at Peter, we see this As Jesus, as we mentioned in the prayer, as Jesus is now, his public ministry is coming to a close, and he takes his disciples and they come together. It tells us here into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he inquires his disciples and he asks them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave him an answer. Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he dismisses all of that, and he turns now to focus on them. But who do you say? Who do you say that I am? And that is a pretty startling question when we see that these men have followed Jesus. They have followed him. They left their work. They left their daily chores that they were involved in. They left it all to follow him. They followed him because of the claim that he made. They believed in him, and they followed him. But he asked them now, because he's going to now prepare them for something. He's going to speak to them about a death. And he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And that question really comes to all of us, really every day. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who is he to you or to me? And Simon Peter answers, and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is what Jesus, the heart of Jesus, wanted to hear from his disciples, that they believe in him, that he is the Messiah, the one who was spoken of by the prophets, that he has now come. And he wanted them to put their trust in him, faith in him that would not waver, because he was going to now go to the cross. He was going to die for them, for all the sin of the world. And so Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And how quickly we see now what takes place. Perhaps just a short time has gone by now, when Jesus starts to tell his disciples about the way of the cross that he is now going to. So from this great proclamation by Peter, one that Jesus tells him, "You are blessed because you believe this." We see now Peter, as Jesus begins to tell him, he says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and must suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes. He's going to suffer at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and they're going to kill him, he says. He's going to be killed. But he's going to be raised again on the third day. And now Peter, who had made this confession or proclamation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he tells Jesus, "Be it far from thee, Lord." Okay, let's think about what he is saying here. Jesus said what is going to happen to him. He's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer at the hands of all of these men, these religious men. And he's going to be killed. And Peter, who now turns to him and says, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." This is where Peter began his backsliding, right here. And we also do the same thing whenever we look at the law of God. We look at Jesus and his life, his meekness, his humility. And we refuse to accept that on our person. We are saying, as Peter said to Jesus, "No, you don't know the way. You said this, but no way. This is not going to happen to you. Be it far from thee." I cannot accept that. When we look at the life of Christ and the humility and the meekness in which he walked, and we can't accept that on our own self, then we, in essence, are saying to Jesus, "You don't know. That's not necessary for me." And what happens? There becomes a distance that is created. And it is from this distance that began right here that we see Peter. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, and he takes them into the garden. And he says to them, "Watch and pray." And Jesus comes back, and they're all asleep. And he turns to Peter, and he turned to Peter only, and says, couldn't you pray? Couldn't you watch and pray for this little bit?" When Peter couldn't accept the cross is when Peter began to fail and to fall and to be led astray. Peter turns to Jesus. It tells us later at the Last Supper, he says, Peter tells Jesus, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Because he said all will be offended. And Peter, now in his boldness, says, "Though everyone will be, I won't be." And this is when Jesus tells him, "Verily I say unto thee that this day, this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me three times." That's, I think, something that Peter just couldn't understand, because when he said, "I will never deny you," he believed that fully within his own heart. And I think that many times we will also, in our thought process, think, I will never deny the Lord. But when we say deny, we mean it maybe in a way that I will never commit the sin to separate me from the church, from my Lord. I will never do such a big sin. And in that, Jesus is telling us, you're going to deny me because you're putting your trust in yourself. But you've already created a distance. You've already lost me in prayer. You've already, because here he tells him, he says, as he turns to Peter, he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Thou art an offense to me. Why? Why was this an offense unto Jesus? He says, because you are savoring the things you're not savoring the things that be of God. But you savor those things that be of men. What is it that we savor that is of a man and not of God? Well, what is of God is the cross. The cross that Jesus just is telling them, I am going to go to. I'm going to go to the cross. Peter says, no way. Be it far from thee. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. So he says now, and then he goes on and he tells his disciples, he tells them all. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, in our spiritual life as believers, as born-again believers, Jesus has a desire for every one of us to move forward onto higher ground, always. The life of a Christian cannot stand still. There's no such thing. Because we are distancing ourselves from Christ, because Jesus says, follow me. Jesus is walking. If we're not walking with him, we are going away from him. The distance is being created. Jesus says, follow me. But he says, take up your cross and follow me. And the way that Jesus wants to take us to a higher ground, that way is the way of the cross. Now, if you and I do not want to go on higher ground, or we do not want to go to take up our cross, if we don't want to take up our cross, meaning we do not want to deny ourselves, because that's the way of the cross. The way of the cross is a way of self-denial. And so, when I say, be it far from thee, Lord, I have separated myself. I do not want to go to the cross. Because there's another way that I can serve him without the cross. And so then we see what Peter does. In this misguided zeal that he will now show Jesus that he will never deny him. Or he's going to show Jesus that I will do something for you. It becomes a zeal without knowledge, without Jesus Christ and the wisdom that he imparts unto us when we go and deny ourselves and take up his cross. The wisdom that comes to us comes in our self-denial. You cannot be full of yourself. You cannot be accepting everything that self wants and know him. You can't. It's the way of self-denial. The elevated ground, the higher ground that Christ wants to take us to is the way of the cross. You can't go to that ground, that higher ground, without the cross. And so we see when he when Jesus was in the garden and when he prayed, he says to them, "Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand." And we see when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter, acting out on his own, not by the guidance of Jesus or the Spirit, he takes out a sword and slices off the ear of the one who came to arrest him. This is Peter acting out on his own. Jesus didn't tell him to do that. This is misguided zeal. This is work. I'm going to work to show you, Jesus, that I am faithful. And we're going to do those things that Jesus isn't even asking. Jesus doesn't ask anything from us. Nothing. He doesn't ask us to do anything other than believe in him. And then when we make this confession that Peter made and stay on that, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. I have given my heart to thee. I have denied myself. I am following thee. I have taken up the cross." That's what Jesus is asking of us. Because now the work that we will do in his kingdom is coming from a heart that is surrendered to him. But what Peter wanted to do was do work for him, but not go the way of the cross. You can't do that. We can't do that. And then we see Peter now in complete shambles, doesn't know what to do with himself. He distances himself from Jesus yet some more. And he's following after Jesus from afar off. He didn't take his eyes off of him completely. But he sees that everything he's done so far is wrong. And the reason it's all wrong is because he's shirked the cross. Everything we do, dear ones, for Jesus without the cross, and I refuse to deny myself, is worthless. That's why Paul said, you can give your body to be burned if you don't have love. That first love for Christ Jesus, your Lord, if you don't have that first love for him, nothing matters. That zeal that you have, it's all misguided. You took your eyes off the cross. You refused to go to the higher ground that Jesus, he wants to elevate our spiritual lives. He wants to elevate them. He wants to reveal himself, and that's the revelation of himself to us. Jesus says that only the Spirit will reveal. Only the Spirit. You can't know him any other way. But that way to know him is to deny myself and take up his cross. I always heard that, you know, let's say I would suddenly become blind. And, well, that's my cross. That's my cross. That's not my cross. Because there's many men who are blind that don't believe in God. It's not a cross. The cross is self-denial. My will, me, has to go to the cross. If I refuse that, I can never know him. How's he going to take me to this higher ground when the path to that ground is his cross? And so I could live an entirely misguided life. And that's what Jesus says. At the end, I don't know you. Why? I did this in your name. I did this. I don't know you. Why? Because you didn't deny yourself. You didn't take the cross. You didn't follow me. And we see then what happens, and we can ask ourselves also, as we grow, as our distance grows from Jesus, grows wider, we have to We have to have something to replace that. And it's all what we want. It's all things worldly. It's all things worldly. Peter, in this case, goes to a fire. It's cold. It's a cold evening. And he goes to a fire that was built by the world. And he's going to seek comfort with the world because he can't go to Christ. Why? Because he can't accept the cross. But even his language gave him away. So we have a scene where there's a little maiden girl, little maid, and we have a lying disciple of Jesus. How did Peter get to that? When he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." How did he get to the point that we see him lying, cursing? "I don't know him, the one who he said, 'Thou art the Christ.' I don't know him." Dear ones, none of us will know him unless we go to the cross. None of us can follow him unless we go to the cross. The cock crowed, and Peter wept bitterly. He saw. And so when we read of this event, what had taken place, we have to consider our own heart and life. Are we busy involving ourselves with things of this world? You know, how far am I going to go away from the meek? We got to consider this. The meekness of Jesus, who is the creator of the world. He was meek to go to the cross and to die for my sins and your sins, not for himself, for us. The shame of a cross, he went to it. And I cannot accept that meekness. I'm going to live my life in a flamboyant way. I'm going to dress in a way that denies him. I'm going to dress in a way that denies Jesus. Oh, well, what is that way? Well, is it a way of meekness, humility? Is it a way of a cross where I deny myself? Am I going to surround myself with possessions that deny that my eyes are fixed on things that are heavenly and not here of this earth? Am I denying my Jesus? Maybe not with the words that Peter said, cursing, lying, "I don't know him." Maybe not that way. But we could be denying that we know him in the way we walk and talk, the way we dress, in our possessions, in the things that we refuse to deny. Because, "Jesus, be it far from thee that I should live that way like you did." Maybe we'll never say it, but our lives would show it. And if we look into Jesus and in his life, we will see that this is the way that he walked, and this is the way that he is calling us to. Just as Jesus told Peter, I have prayed for thee, that your faith would not fail. So he also tells in his prayer for his disciples, this is his prayer for all of us, brothers and sisters. He says, I pray for them. I pray for you. We are his disciples today. He says, in his prayer, he says, "I pray for them." He says, "I pray not for the world. I pray not for the world, I pray for them. See, he died for the world. The world that does not want him. He says, I don't pray for them. I died for them. And he gives unto us the keys to bring those that don't know him, that refuse to follow him. He gives us the keys and the understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom of who he is to preach Jesus to those who are lost. Or does our speech deny him so that we can't even speak of him to those that we know that are lost and are without him? Does my speech, does my dress, does my possessions deny him so that when I speak of Jesus and his humility, I can't really speak of who he is because that's not who I am? Is the cock crowing and we don't even hear it? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And he goes on, he says, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. This is something that will take place. And he's given us a vivid description. The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. When we deny the cross, we deny him. We will tumble, backslide, fall, and do things we never dreamed of. Peter never dreamed. He said, see these? They might deny you. They might, not me. He believed it. He believed it. But Jesus was going to show him that without the cross, without self-denial, you can't follow me. You can't come to those heights where I can reveal myself to you and your love for me will keep growing more intense each day anew. It's something that the Spirit reveals. We can read the Bible cover to cover and never know it, never see it. It's when we deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Jesus, that he reveals himself to us and gives us the understanding of who he is. And that is when we can serve him in humility. And the zeal is not misguided. The zeal to work for our Lord comes from an understanding of who he is. And the things that we do because we are saved. We give to the poor because we are saved. We give our body to be burned because we are saved. We don't do it to be saved. We do it because we are saved. And our salvation has already come to us. And because we denied ourselves. Our salvation has come to us. Jesus has forgiven us. We are his. We belong to him. And we continue every day putting on love, Christ, and walking, preaching through our lives who Jesus is and that he came to save us from our sins. So let us, dear ones, each one of us, as we consider the temptations that are around us every day, we can pretend we can say, I'll never do this or I'll never do that. It's only because what Peter was shown is you don't know. You don't know your own self. And so may God bless his word upon our hearts in this evening, dear ones, to reveal to each one of us, where is it that I have refused to deny myself? Where have I refused to take that cross and go to it to deny myself so that I may actually follow in the footsteps of the meekest of men, the most humble man that has ever walked this earth, my Savior and my King. Amen.